Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. He goes where the music news is on the road this morning, like Charles Kuralt. Well, he doesn't have a whole nother family and a mistress and all that stuff in the bus with him. Gary Graff, our music expert. Good morning, Gary.
How do you know that?
Well, okay. You want to fess up to something?
Not at all.
Do you remember the Charles Kuralt thing when it all came out?
I remember it well.
The guy who was like the folksy guy who traveled around the country for CBS for, what, 20, 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
On the road,
on the road with Charles Kuralt.
And after he passed away, some woman came out and said, yeah, I was with him the whole time. We had our own family. He had like two separate lives that he was living.
He was trying the pluralist lifestyle.
Same with Lindbergh. Charles Lindbergh.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, none of that is going on, at least in this hotel room in Cleveland.
Not yet, anyway. Yeah, in Cleveland for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Exactly. Yeah, the induction ceremonies are tomorrow night. It's a whole week in Cleveland. They've been doing other, you know, obviously smaller events. The Moody Blues, who are being inducted, performed a show last night. This afternoon, they're going to be unveiling the new inductees exhibit with artifacts from Bon Jovi, the Moody Blues, the Cars, Dire Straits, Nina Simone, and Sister Rosetta Tharpe. And then tonight, there's a party at the museum, that's always a good time. And then Saturday, tomorrow, at the public hall, they'll be doing the ceremony. And of course, you know, there are still things up in the air, and there are still things people are disappointed about. Just learned this morning that Scott Schreiner from Weezer will be filling in for the late Benjamin Orr with the Cars when they perform, which is a good choice.
Okay.
Dire Straits, but actually spoke with John Ilsley, the bassist and the co-founder and co-owner of the name, yesterday as he was getting on a plane in England about what was going on with them and what happened. And he told me Mark Knopfler just didn't want to show up, and it's as simple as that. He couldn't get his head around the idea of a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction that he, meaning Knopfler, thinks it's a great honor, but just not something he wanted to do, not part of who he is, not part of his personality. John Ilsley also alluded to the idea, too, that there would be that Mark Knopfler probably wasn't up for dealing with the political fracture that might happen, deciding who from Dire Straits. I mean, granted, they've chose the Hall of Fame tells you who's getting inducted. But still, you know, you have to then squirrel herd everybody back into the band. For instance, David Knopfler and Pick Withers, the original drummer and bassist, I don't think ever played with Guy Fletcher, the keyboard player who's being inducted. So it just sounds like, you know, it was a non-starter for Mark Knopfler, which was too bad. One of the funny things that happened was earlier in the week, Alan Clark, the keyboardist, tweeted that, actually it was last week because we spoke about it, tweeted that Mark Knopfler wasn't going to show up, so that he, John Ilsley, and Guy Fletcher were going to do an unplugged version of Telegraph Road. Everybody took him at his word, but apparently that was a joke.
Oh.
So, you know, so there will be no,
not doing it.
What's
doing it, not doing it.
Well, then.
Yep. So there will be no Dire Straits performance, at least by members of Dire Straits. You know, I don't know. Nobody's saying yet if the Rock Hall is lining up a tribute performance of any kind. We don't even know who's inducting them.
How do we avoid this in the future? Aside from bands, when they first get together and they record their first album, they say, hey, let's just talk about this now. If we somehow manage to stick around long enough to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, no matter what our feelings are for one another, we will all show up and play. This group right here, the original group, will show up and play at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay, you can say that. Well,
but then you have the issue that the Hall of Fame may not induct the entire original band. Deep Purple, case in point, they left out the original bass player. Yes, case in point, they left out the original guitarist. I think just the original guitarist. So you know, then you have the Rock Hall when they choose the inductees from within the band. you know, the Rock Hall might play ball with that. So I don't know how you avoid it. I mean, I've always felt
what a nightmare this is every year. There's always just tons and tons of drama that goes along with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Who's coming? Who's not? Who's mad at who? Who's not talking to who? Blah, blah, blah.
It's not enough to just be recognized as really great. You got to iron out all the little kinks and cracks that have developed over the years.
But you know what? If there wasn't any drama, it would be boring, and we'd all be talking about how boring this year's induction was.
So are you okay with all the drama year after year?
I mean, things I don't like are people like I just mentioned, you know, the original bass player of Deep Purple not getting in when the singer who played on the same three albums gets in. The original guitar player from Yes, who was there for the first couple albums, should get in. A bunch of those other guys from Kiss should have gotten in, not just the four guys. So that's the part I don't like. And they've got to figure out their committee, the Rock Hall's committee, has to do a better job of sitting down and saying, okay, who really should be inducted from this band or that band.
All right, I got a procedural question. They get a bronze bust, right?
It's a trophy. It's like it looks like a woman just because of the curves.
Really?
But it's you know, but it actually looks like, it looks like Chardet.
But isn't there...
Holding up a CD, which is interesting in this day and age.
Isn't there a...
Oh, and at the hall itself...
A sculpted representation of the person or band?
No, it's actually more of almost like a hologram image.
Oh, really?
With all of the signatures etched. It's kind of cool. It's a little different. And when they first opened the museum, it was a little off-putting. But now, you know, as we get into whatever this is, I think this is the 33rd induction. You know, people are a little more used to it, and they've changed the actual Hall of Fame inside the museum. They've made it bigger and better and a little more prestigious. The first one was kind of goofy, but now it looks better.
Okay, and then so when you're inducted right away, do they – ask you for a bunch of things like combs or jackets.
Yep.
And those go right in with you. Here's somebody's
guitar. Well, that's this exhibit
guitar
that's being unveiled this afternoon. Okay. Yeah, it'll have a bunch of stuff from each of the inductees.
All right. That's what I want.
And if people are interested in seeing this, of course, May 5th on HBO, they film it and do it. But you can go to the Rock Hall's website or Facebook page or YouTube, and they're going to live stream the red carpet for the first time.
Who decides what kind of artifacts?
Go ahead.
Who decides what kind of artifacts get collected up? Is that just up to the inductee?
There are curators. There are curators at the Rock Hall, and what they do is they call the acts and they say, "Okay, what do you got?" And they work with them. You know, it was interesting talking to John Ilsley from Dire Straits yesterday. He said he hasn't gathered his stuff yet, so I don't know if there's going to be a gaping hole in there, you know, where their exhibit's supposed to be today, or if they did get some. You know, because there are in Cleveland, you know, of course, being, you know, one of the rock and roll capitals over the years, there are people in town, you know, the Belkin family who were promoters.
Yeah.
You know,
Belkin Productions.
They're part of Live Nation now. But, you know, they probably have artifacts. There are collectors in town who have artifacts. So if, you know, if like Mark Knopfler doesn't care enough to give you anything and John Ilsley was too busy to go through his basement,
well, there can't
you know,
be.
Maybe.
There can't be much stuff left. They've got to fill up all those hard rocks with stuff.
Yeah, right.
Well, that was an issue when the Rock Hall first opened, and still is probably an issue. But the Rock Hall made a decision early on they weren't going to pay for anything. So they were competing against the hard rocks of the world and private collectors, and just hoping that some of these artists, for the prestige and for the mission of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, would be willing to donate or lend their artifacts. So, and I think they still go through that.
So, all right.
So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. We'll know as of 2:00 today what's in these exhibits.
People come and go from bands all the time. Lindsey Buckingham leaving Fleetwood Mac again, right? Because that's what
fired.
You
heard. The question here, of course, is did he leave or was he fired? There are all sorts of different reports.
How do you fire Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac? He is the guy.
That's what everybody's saying on social media, certainly. The long and the short of this is it looks like they're going to go on tour this year. They haven't announced dates or anything yet. Lindsey Buckingham will not be with them. Neil Finn, formerly of Split Enz and Crowded House, will be singing and playing guitar. And Mike Campbell from Tom Petty's Heartbreakers will be playing lead guitar. nobody knows what happens. Nobody's saying anything. The whole thing's in complete lockdown. The only little bit that leaked out is apparently the big difference was not necessarily money, although you can bet money was part of this and is tacitly part of this. But Lindsay's the only one of the people in Fleetwood Mac who has young children. I think his are adolescents, or teenagers right now. The others don't. You know, they're much older, and they're ready to go on the road for a full-scale balls to the wall. We're going to be on the road for a jillion months, you know, playing however many nights a week tour. And Lindsay just didn't want to do that. He wanted some breaks. He wanted a more sane touring schedule. Obviously, that costs you money. It costs you money to be on the road as a band no matter what. But if you're not playing and you're still paying for a crew and equipment and trucks and all the rest, it's costing you money. So the others, they were really at loggerheads about this. And somehow Lindsay's out of the band. And like I say, it's not entirely clear whether he was fired, which a lot of the reports are saying, or if he just quit. And yeah, I look forward to, sooner or later, somebody's going to have to talk about it. Whether they'll tell the truth, we don't know. But somebody will talk about it. But you're right. This is, how do you fire Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac? And B, even though you've done it before, didn't you learn your lesson that touring without him,
right,
doesn't sell you as many tickets for starters, and isn't as good, even if you have great people like Neil Finn and Mike Campbell to be part of this?
I don't know. Didn't Mick Fleetwood call the shots in the band? I mean, wasn't he? I mean,
well,
Fleetwood's got the name on it.
He does to a degree. Mick is, while he's still, you know, the Fleetwood,
right,
in the band, and you know, he can only do what Lindsay and Stevie will do. You know, he can't order either of them to go on the road to do this or that. Look how often Stevie's held up.
Who in the band fires Lindsay Buckingham?
Well, it would have to be probably a group decision.
Right. We took a vote. You're fired. You're out.
Yeah.
You know what? I quit. I'm
Stevie
leaving.
It's like a pirate crew.
Stevie probably enjoys it more than the other guys, but
I thought they were cool again.
No, they say they're cool again.
All right, let's talk about a couple of guys who are cool with each other again now, Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, had a chance to, lots going on with them because it's the 40th anniversary. Came out this week of Up in Smoke.
What was on Up in Smoke? Because I had Big Bamboo, Dave's Not Here, all of that stuff.
What was on Up in Smoke? I don't remember.
I don't either.
they did, you know, it did have the song Up in Smoke, which was a good single for them. And the new 40th anniversary reissue has Up in Smoke 2018. You know, they re-recorded it, which is kind of fun. But there's also opening today, in fact, a Grammy Museum in Los Angeles has a Cheech and Chong exhibit that, I guess, you know, you go into, and then there's like a Doritos concession when you walk out or something. You know, they just, you know, but it has all sorts of artifacts.
Is Cheech loaded back in with the whole Cheech and Chong thing? Because for the longest time while he was doing movies and hanging out with Don Johnson and blah, 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 all that stuff, he really didn't want to have anything to do with Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, they got back together a few years ago, and they do X number of shows a year because, of course, they're very lucrative. And, you know, their concerts, they do comedy bits, they do some of the music. And they're, you know, so they still do that, and they're working together to promote the Up in Smoke 40th anniversary. So it's kind of a cool thing. I got to talk to the guys, you know, a couple weeks ago about the project and about the new song and everything. And, you know, again, had a bag of Doritos after I finished that. And, they did tell me an interesting thing in Cheech and Chong lore. So Basketball Jones, lead guitar on that is by George Harrison.
Really?
You know, under a gnome de session player, but they said they have a bunch of outtakes from those sessions, other attempts at the song, and they said just some noodling around in the studio where George was going wild playing guitar. So they're working with the George Harrison family, the estate, to try to get, you know, figure out a way to get that stuff out, which that would be, because Basketball Jones, I think that has an anniversary coming up sometime soon too.
Basketball Jones came out when I was like in seventh grade, so it's right. got to be. Basketball Jones.
Does the Harrison song. Estate not want it out, or are they just?
No, I think it's just a matter of, hey, we have this. What do you want to do with it?
Okay,
Mariah Carey. What are you going to do with her?
Well, she's, I'm not going to do anything with her, thank you, but she is, she has shared this week that she has been struggling with bipolar disorder, apparently for quite some time. She said she was first diagnosed in 2001 when she was, if you remember, she was hospitalized for a mental breakdown back then and a physical breakdown. So she was diagnosed with bipolar 2, which is characterized by hypomania, which is, and it's less severe than, you know, what they would call bipolar 1. So she kind of revealed that this weekend and says she, you know, she's still under treatment and medication, therapy, you know, the whole bit. So that was a bit of a shock and a surprise.
Okay, a couple of things here quickly. Do you think Taylor Swift is impressed when somebody robs a bank?
Going to ask, is the guy who robbed the bank impressed?
Taylor Swift is not impressed with the guy who robbed the bank to impress her. Thank you. Thank you, but no. You can bet that, you know, it was one of those things. I'm sure she heard about it, but, you know, I don't think she's so, you know, she's so ensconced in still promoting the album, still getting out on the road on tour, you know, getting ready for that. So, a guy robbed the bank. That
didn't make a ripple in her world.
And this is in Connecticut, by the way, and introduce him to all the guys who stalked me.
Okay, one more thing before we let you go. I've always wondered, at the end of the tour, when you're done with your sets and your stages and all that, what do you do with them? Because you, too, found a place for theirs.
Yeah, I mean, most bands, they wind up in storage or something. When I was talking to Todd Rundgren recently about Utopia, he detailed where all their stage stuff is. U2, you'll remember the Claw from their big tour. This is a massive, biggest stage set ever. You
like
know,
a big three-legged thing, right?
It looked like some, yeah, four legs.
Four legs,
like,
okay.
It looked like some giant lizard, you know, that landed on Earth in a space invasion movie or something. Well, they sold it to a guy in Utah who's going to be, you know, they actually sold one of them to a guy in Utah. It's called the Loveland Living Planet Aquarium, and they're going to use it as a venue. That was one of the things. When I talked to the stage designer back when they did that tour in 2009, he said, you know, each of these is set up, each of these legs, it could be their own concert venue. It has its lights, it has sound, and you could just, and so that's what they're going to do at this aquatic facility in Utah. They're going to set it up, and they're going to do special events, concerts, other things. You know, the guy who owns the aquarium calls it a dynamic sculpture. It's a work of art. So it's going to be there in Salt Lake City for any U2 fan to go see.
All right, Gary.
Sounds a little fishy to me, but
got to go somewhere. It's called recycling, repurposing. It's like an antique store. We're out of time, Gary. We got to run.
All right. You guys have a great weekend. Go Bucks.
All right. Have fun in Cleveland.
I will.
Talk to you next week. Gary Graff, our music guy. You get him on Friday mornings around here.